para apresentar metodologias de inventário para corporações e instituições, convidamos o Sr. Stephen Russell, do Programa de Clima e Energia do World Resources Institute.
So today I want to talk about carbon footprints, what carbon footprints are, and what value carbon footprints bring to companies. A carbon footprint is basically a measure of the climate impact of an entity, and entities can range from a single emission source to a large nation such as Brazil. So you can create carbon footprints for something as small as a car or aeroplane or for a nation. Today, what I want to talk about is how companies can combine GHG emissions data from across their sources and business operations to develop a corporate level inventory. I also want to talk about why companies would want to do that, and I'd like to introduce the tools that GHG Protocol has developed that enable companies to measure their emissions. First off, before I do that, I'd like to clarify what I mean by a corporate level carbon footprint. A carbon footprint is a quantified list of the emissions and sources from an organization or company, and it typically includes the six categories of GHGs that are covered by the Kyoto Protocol: carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and others. A carbon footprint can include emissions from all of the activities that a company undertakes, regardless of whether or not those emissions are from sources that the entity controls. So a carbon footprint includes emissions from installations that the company owns, as well as emissions from emissions associated with the generation of electricity that a company has purchased, as well as emissions from sources that are owned by third parties, but that nonetheless the reporting company can influence. So why develop a carbon footprint? The short answer is that in an increasingly carbon-constrained world, companies need to manage their GHG emissions, and they can only do that with a carbon footprint. As I said previously, you can't manage what you don't measure. More specifically, carbon footprints offer a number of benefits to companies. They let companies identify opportunities to reduce costs, especially the costs associated with energy consumption. They also let companies benchmark their performance and identify opportunities to increase competitiveness. They also let companies participate in emissions markets, such as the Climate Exchange based in North America. Also, with a carbon footprint, companies can report important data to their stakeholders and other shareholders, such as through the Climate Disclosure Project or through their own corporate sustainability reports. Fifth, carbon footprints let companies track progress towards and realize their social responsibility goals. And as Raquel said, an increasingly important function of carbon footprints is to assess liabilities and prepare for future legislation and policies on climate change and greenhouse gas emissions. So with that said, I'd just like to delve into the details of the Greenhouse Gas Protocol. The GHG Protocol was established in 1998 as a joint initiative between two non-governmental organizations, the World Resources Institute based in Washington, D.C., and the World Business Council for Sustainable Development based in Geneva. The GHG Protocol partners with businesses to develop and promote methods for greenhouse gas accounting, calculation, and reporting. And importantly, the GHG Protocol is policy neutral. It simply strives to provide businesses with the tools they need to measure and manage their emissions. One of those tools is called the Corporate Standard. And this document allows companies to prepare carbon footprints that are fair and true accounts of their climate impact. The guidelines contained in the corporate standard are based on the financial accounting principles and processes that companies will use to develop their annual financial reports. And so it simplifies the process of developing a footprint. The corporate standard was developed over the course of 4 years and with input from over 355 experts worldwide from academia, businesses, industry associations, and government agencies. And finally, the corporate standard has been road tested by well over 1,000 companies now in over 20 countries. The corporate standard was developed to meet certain objectives. One was to increase the cost efficiency of developing a carbon footprint. Another was to enable companies to have the information to develop effective GHG mitigation strategies and to participate in voluntary and mandatory reporting schemes. And the overarching objective of the corporate greenhouse gas protocol and the corporate standard is to increase the consistency and transparency of the methods companies use to develop their carbon footprints. And I think the greenhouse gas protocol has been reasonably successful in meeting these objectives because the corporate standard has been adopted by virtually every GHG program in the world. For example, it's been adopted by the International Standards Organization. It's been adopted by various sector-specific initiatives, such as those led by the International Forum of Forest and Paper Associations, the International Aluminium Institute, and the Cement Sustainability Initiative. And also, the corporate standard forms the basis for market initiatives and approaches to combating climate change, including the CDP, the Climate Disclosure Project, and emissions trading schemes, such as the EU's emissions trading scheme. Not to beat the point to death, but the corporate standard also provides the foundation for national-level GHG schemes, such as the Climate Registry in North America, of course, the Brazil program in now, but also programs in South Africa, Europe, India, China, New Zealand, Australia, etc. In other words, the corporate standard is a tool that has universal applicability, and companies worldwide can use it to measure and manage their emissions. But what exactly does the corporate standard do? Well, the process of creating and using a carbon footprint involves many different steps. This is a very simplified representation of that process, but still useful. Companies, first of all, have to set the boundaries of their carbon footprint. In other words, they have to identify which operations and emission sources have to be represented in their carbon footprint. They then need to collect activity data, for example, on the amount of electricity they've consumed or the amount of fuel they've combusted. And together with methods involving emission factors, for example, they can then calculate their emissions and develop their carbon footprint, which they use as a basis for reducing emissions and reporting results to stakeholders, such as internal management or external audience. This process is iterative because companies often use their experiences in developing a carbon footprint to improve processes for data collection, and so to improve the utility and accuracy of their carbon footprints. The corporate standard provides guidance on each of these steps. So, for example, the corporate standard allows companies to answer the question, who should account for which emissions and when? This is an important question because companies often have complex organizational structures. For instance, a company might be a subsidiary of another entity, or a company may collaborate with other organizations to form a joint venture. And this pattern is complicated by the fact that a company's interactions with entities upstream or downstream of its operations can influence the emissions from across the full length of a company's value chain. And this means that a company is often unsure which emissions should be included in its carbon footprint. The corporate standard is designed precisely to answer that question. And it therefore invokes two concepts, one of direct versus indirect concepts, of direct versus indirect emissions, and one of scopes. The corporate standard categorizes emissions as direct if they come from sources that are owned or controlled by the reporting company, and indirect if they come from sources that are owned or controlled by another company. All direct sources are scope 1, and indirect emissions are further classified into scope 2 and scope 3. Scope 2 emissions come from the consumption of purchased electricity, and scope 3 emissions represent all other indirect emissions, such as the emissions from employee business travel, product use, waste disposal, etc. And the purpose of this slide is simply to demonstrate that through this categorization, companies can understand what emissions should be included in their inventory and which should not, to prevent different companies double counting the same emissions. And that's an important process in ensuring the credibility of carbon footprints. Of course, the corporate standard is also relevant to the other steps in using and creating carbon footprints. And so it can be used to implement quality control mechanisms for the inventory development process. It can be used to determine what aspects of a carbon footprint should be reported, and to answer or to determine how emissions changes over time can be tracked. And another important use of the corporate standard is to set emissions reduction targets and to track progress towards these targets. So that's a very brief overview of the corporate standard. The Greenhouse Gas Protocol also provides a series of calculation tools that companies can use to calculate their emissions. For instance, we offer 5 tools for cross-sector sources, and these are sources that companies, regardless of which sector they represent, are likely to have. For instance, we have a tool for electricity consumption, a tool for calculating emissions from transport, stationary combustion sources such as boilers, and other tools. On top of these tools, the GHG protocol offers tools for sector-specific sources, such as those associated with iron and steel production, cement production, and the like. And finally, we offer a number of tools for service sector companies and office-based organizations. Each tool comprises 2 components: an Excel spreadsheet that automates the calculation of emissions, and a PDF guidance document that provides source-specific guidance. Importantly, each tool is based on international best practices, typically the methodologies provided by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, and this means that the methods have universal applicability. They can be used by companies worldwide, but they can be adapted for specific contexts, such as specific regions. Another important note is that the tools have been extensively road tested by companies to ensure that they're relevant to businesses. Okay, and finally, I'd just like to draw your attention to the GHG Protocol's website, ghgprotocol.org, and you can download the corporate standard and the calculation tools from here, as well as read more about the GHG Protocol's activities. Of course, I'd be very pleased to answer any specific questions you have, but if you have any questions that relate to the intersection of the GHG Protocol and the Brazil program, I'd ask that you refer your questions to these contacts, including Raquel. Okay, thank you.